Jesus went out across the Sea of Galilee. A large crowd followed him because they saw the signs he was performing on the sick. Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. The Jewish feast of Passover was near. When Jesus raised his eyes and saw that a large crowd was coming to him, he said to Philip, "Where can we buy enough food for them to eat?" He said this to test him, because he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 200 days' wages worth of food would not be enough for each of them to have a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, said to him, "There's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what good are these for so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people recline." Now there was a great deal of grass in that place, so the men reclined, about 5,000 in number. Then Jesus took the loaves and gave thanks and distributed them to those who were reclining, and also as much of the fish as they wanted. When they had had their fill, he said to his disciples, "Gather the fragments left over, so that nothing will be wasted." So they collected them and filled 12 wicker baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves that had been more than they could eat. When the people saw the sign he had done, they said, "This is truly the prophet, the one who is to come into the world." Since Jesus knew that they were going to come and carry him off to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain alone. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Good morning, everyone. Today we begin in the gospel readings now for another 5 weeks. We will be hearing from John's gospel. And this particular chapter, we begin chapter 6, is extremely important in the life of the church because John chapter 6 contains within it the church's theology of the Eucharist, the understanding of Jesus as the bread of life, and the transubstantiation, that Jesus truly becomes the bread truly becomes his flesh, the blood, his body, blood, soul, and divinity. And so this is a very important chapter in the life of the church. And so we're going to hear from this chapter for the next 5 weeks in the church's liturgy here at Sunday Mass. And in John's gospel, John does not have a Last Supper story in his gospel. We find the Last Supper in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And John's gospel, he doesn't have the story of the Last Supper. And so many look at this as an important teaching of his on the Eucharist. And so this chapter begins in a magnificent way, stunning. This is a big, big deal. 5,000 people, and Jesus performs this amazing miracle to get everybody's attention. It's like, you know, a magician doing a trick and wowing the people, and they say, "Wow, I got to see what else this guy can do." Well, Jesus just performed one of the greatest miracles. He fed 5,000 men. It doesn't include women and children who most certainly were present. Some say that possibly he could have 15,000 people there. And with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, they ate as much as they wanted. They had their fill. And when they collected the fragments, they had more than when they began. So Jesus performs this miracle. And it's intended to get our attention, to tell us this is a big deal that we need to really pay attention. And so the rest of this chapter, John 6, we will develop the theology of the Eucharist and the meal that Jesus is giving us. One of the things that is part of, if you are a scripture scholar, you intend to study scripture, is that you will learn that the Old Testament oftentimes foreshadows things to come. That God promises certain things or shows us certain things in the New Testament that is just a shadow of the true light that's going to be revealed in the future when Jesus comes. And so the New Testament is a fulfillment of many things promised in the Old Testament. And when we heard the first reading today about Elisha, when he took and he fed 100 people with 20 barley loaves. Wow, this gospel reading where Jesus feeds thousands becomes the perfect fulfillment of something that was foreshadowed in the Old Testament. One of the rules of thumb, by the way, is that whenever the Old Testament foreshadows something to come in the New Testament is always bigger. It's always more miraculous. It's always more important. For example, when Moses leads God's people out of slavery in Egypt, this is a foreshadowing that Jesus would lead us out of the slavery of sin. And so to take us out of slavery to Pharaoh, that's a good thing. But to be freed from the slavery of sin, way more glorious, way more important. When Moses feeds, or God through Moses feeds the people manna in the desert, this is a miraculous bread. This is something truly miraculous that is happening. But it's a foreshadowing of the Eucharist. The Eucharist is far more substantial, far more miraculous. And that's how it goes with everything that the Old Testament foreshadows in the New. It's always something greater that's awaiting in the New Testament. This gospel reading gives us a little sentence just thrown in there. It says that the Jewish feast of the Passover was near. And so this calls to mind to a Jewish reader, one who understands their history. They understand how God brought them out of slavery and into the promised land. And so this is intended by John that we have the Passover in the back of our mind. The Passover lambs were being slaughtered, and some of them were being prepared for food. And one of the ways that they prepared this Passover lamb to be eaten was to hang the flesh on little crosses as they presented them in front of the fire. If you ever want to see that, our brothers over at Mar Abraham, the Chaldean Catholic Church, when they do their fish fry, they hang the fish on little metal crosses. They say this is the way that Jesus cooked, and they preserve that way of cooking all the way to today. But I thought it was symbolic that they would choose to use these little crosses to cook the lamb and to provide the food. And so the people often came into the desert to pray. Matter of fact, when Moses went to Pharaoh, he said, we need to restore our relationship with God. We need to go into the desert to pray. We can't do that here in Egypt with all the distractions, with all the idolatry. We have to go into the desert. And so Jesus also goes into the desert to pray, and the people follow him. Jesus, when he multiplies the bread, is oftentimes seen as symbolic of the Mass. When we come to Mass, the people come and we gather, just as Jesus gathered. We have the steps, not quite a mountain, but you get the idea. We're going up higher, right? There's a teaching. Jesus sat down, he taught his disciples. There's a teaching as we teach on the scriptures, as we hear God, we allow God to teach us. And then there comes a time when y'all are hungry, spiritually, I hope, at least. Hopefully you're physically hungry too, because you have to fast before Mass, right? And so there comes a procession with bread. And so they bring the bread forward. Sometimes it's the altar server, the little boy has the barley loaves. I always felt connected to that little boy because I always had food in my pocket when I was a kid, right? But this, we see the imaging here of the Mass where the food is then presented to the priest who lifts it up and says the blessing and gives thanks to God. And what does the word Eucharist mean? It means giving thanks to God, thanksgiving, praise, and memorial. And so the priest does all these things that Jesus does at the multiplication of the bread and loaves, the fishes. And then what happens? Just as Jesus distributed the bread, the whole congregation has the opportunity to receive Holy Communion. And then what do? We pick up the fragments. All the fragments are brought back to the altar so that nothing is wasted, just as it says in the gospel reading. And then those are kept in the tabernacle. And this is a big deal, because not only do we believe that Jesus came, and this can set us apart from all other Christian denominations, that we believe that the bread that we share is not ordinary bread, but that it is the real presence of Jesus among us, body, blood, soul, and divinity. And so that sets us apart from many Christians who view it only as a symbol. We're going to see later in the gospel reading how that can't be seen as a symbol. And then, not only does he come and give himself to us, but he stays. In every Catholic church, there's a tabernacle where the real presence of Jesus stays. And so this is a big deal. And I love the way that this gospel begins, this most important gospel and this most important chapter in John's gospel begins with this amazing miracle story. They want to take Jesus away and make him a king, but he again returns to the mountain and escapes because they're thinking of an earthly king, whereas he is a divine king. This story, which is a story of salvation, a story of the church, the people of Israel foreshadowing the church, is also a story of each one of us individually. Because when you are born, you are born in slavery to sin through original sin of our first parents. And through baptism, we are brought through the waters. Jesus forgives us our sins, wipes them clean. And then we enter the promised land, of the land flowing with milk and honey. This is the life in the church. The milk and the honey are all the sacraments, these beautiful graces that God wants to shower upon us, the greatest of which is the Eucharist, Jesus himself feeding us. I think it's also important to note that before Jesus begins to speak or to the people, he feeds them not just spiritually, but he feeds them physically. The loaves and the fishes was a physical food, but he's also going to feed them now spiritually. And this is the work of the church throughout the world. The church always looks for what can we do for the physical needs of people. Oftentimes, I feel like we do that to a fault. Catholic Relief Services, oftentimes they do a lot of the physical needs, and they don't necessarily preach the gospel, at least right away. And sometimes I say, we should preach the gospel right away. Maybe I'm a little too zealous. But the church always wants to first meet the physical needs and then also bring them the spiritual food, the proclamation of the gospel. And so each of us can find ourselves in this story, that we were once slaves to sin. Jesus brings us to forgiveness, freedom. And then he gives us abundant gifts in the church and the sacraments. And then we look forward not to Jesus as an earthly king, but we look forward to his divine kingdom, where we will be happy with him forever. I pray that as we continue these next 5 weeks, that we might deepen our love and our understanding for the Eucharist, and that we might receive the Eucharist with greater and greater reverence. Amen.